dividends on issues raised in 2011 SONA that will have implications to strategic plan of the committee. I'm looking at people that are here at the moment in terms of adopting our minutes, and I want to be corrected by our secretary whether we are enough to adopt, because I was thinking that maybe we should start with these two items. And I'm reading it, members of, from the ANC that are here, we have only two members, and Mr. Makagula, Honorable Makagula, Honorable Masilo, and Honorable Chwete, three of us, and from the DA, we have the apology, Kupane's apology, and then we have only Honorable Lamula. We have one person from Co, Honorable Dume. We have none from the ISB, none from the UTM, none from the FF, none from the ID. But anyway, they are not always there. Other parties, only parties that are regular in the meetings are the DA and the COPE. So we don't even, and ISB, yes, Makubela is always with us. And Uma Muzikalala, we hardly see her. I even forget that she's our member of the Social Development Committee. But I want to take the cue from the members whether we deal with the adoption of the minutes or go to the briefing by the advisor. And I'll be led by you members. Thank you.
Go to the briefing on the SONA instead of doing the minutes, seeing that we do not have the participation of all the other parties at the moment. Okay?
Thank you, President. I see Honorable Makagula is seconding the motion. Therefore, we'll go straight to number two. Okay. You bear with me, I'm the new chair, so, and I'm given letters of apologies before we go to the briefing. Okay.
Just a follow-up on the minutes. Are we not counting the apologies that we have received and the members need? We also not going to vote at the end of the other presentation. Can we adopt the minutes as a proposal? We can start with the other business, but defer them at the end of the
I'm exactly going to do that. I'm going to read the minutes. We have two apologies. We have one from Mamu Kenya. And I'm not going to go through the apology, the letter, but she's saying she will be able to attend the social development. And also the written apology is from our chairperson, Yolanda Port. She's unable to attend the Portfolio Committee on Social Development scheduled for 15th. She's attending a provisional cabinet level and special PC meeting in Northern Cape. She did phone me to say she won't be around. And yes. Coming to your question or your concern, Honorable Masilo, my worry is, you know, we've got to be sure when we do the adoption of the minutes that people that were there on the day of the minutes of the meeting and make sure that we adopt, we have more than three members. But let me go through and check, Lindy, how do we, and do we expect to have a quorum even when we adopt minutes?
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the parliamentary rules, if the committee is by to take a decision, and because especially the minutes or the reports, those are the documents of the committee, it must require a quorum, which is 50 plus. In our case, at least we must be seven members. Yes, and now we are five, so we cannot take any decision. We can just receive the briefing, not taking any decision.
That's how it is, Honorable Senator. and we are five, we cannot adopt minutes. So let us go straight to the second item of our agenda. Honorable advisor, are you going to take us through? Are you starting? Okay.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. My name is Siyavuya Koyana. Together with my colleague Yolisan Ogengo, I'll be doing a presentation. I'll be doing the matters that emanated from the State of the Nation Address 2011, and then I'll also touch up on the progress made by the department from 2010 SONA. And then Uyoli Sanogenga will be doing the implications for the committee that arise from the State of the National Address 2011. Okay. The introduction will be I'll go through the outline on the policy objectives by Social Development Department, and then following that will be the general strategic objectives that impact on social development sector, and then that will be followed by summary of the progress on issues raised in 2010 SONA by the Department of Social Development. The State of the National Address outlines the following policy objectives to be taken by government in the area of social development: the phasing of extension of child support grants to cover children under the age of 18 years old, and then linking social grants to economic activities and community development, which will enhance short-term beneficiaries to become self-supporting in the long run. The following general strategic objective will also impact on the social development sector. In the State of the Nation Address 2011, it was declared, 2011 was declared as the year of job creation, true economic transformation and inclusive growth, and then introduction of a new growth path that will guide the work in achieving government goal of working within the premises that the creation of decent work is at the center of the country's economic policy. Following that was the creation of 4.5 million work opportunities through expanded public works program. Currently, the home and community home-based care and early childhood development initiative fall under this program, the EPW program. And then releasing the government position paper on social security reforms for discussion in 2011 will also impact on social development. Following that, it was the SONA highlighted that government must fill all funded vacant posts by all the departments. And according to the Department of Social Development annual report, it is reported that the department has 9.8 vacancy rate, and SASA has 59.6% vacancy rate. And this means, in compliance with SONA, it is important that the department, and more especially SASA, to prioritize filling to fill the vacant posts within the 6 months that was specified in the SONA. And then it was also highlighted that dealing with drug peddling and drug abuse, tearing some communities apart, the cleaning of social grant system of fraud is also continuing. And then in the drug peddling and drug abuse tearing in some communities, the cordial advisor will elaborate more on this issue, on the implications for Parliament. And then continuing the fight against corruption. President highlighted that 800 million has been set aside for immediate relief to assist communities affected by natural disasters. This falls under the social relief of the department. And then following that, I will do the summary of progress on issues that were raised that impacted on social development sector in the 2010 FONA, which were the extension of child support grant, eradicating fraud and corruption, reducing serious and violent crime, building a performance-oriented state, expanded public works program expansion. I will do this part on behalf of the department. This will be the information that was provided to me by the department. Under the extension of the child support grant, the department reported that at the end of December 2010, total of 10.5 million child support grant beneficiaries rise by 7.9% compared to 2009. The child support grant currently covers between 70 to 80% of children living in poor households. They are using this on the basis of 350 per month poverty lines. About 54% of all children under the age of 18 in South Africa receive their child support grant. This percentage is expected to rise and peak at around 60 to 65 in the next coming few years within the current eligibility. And then the next point that was identified by SONA 2010 was eradicating fraud and corruption. The Department of Social Development has implemented an anti-corruption and fraud policy. And then there were also distribution of awareness booklets to all personnel of the department via the email to provide a better understanding of the department's anti-corruption and fraud strategy. On the 31st of October, the United Nations, which is the UN Assembly, declared the 9th of December to be celebrated as a World Anti-Corruption Day. The HSRC, Human Sciences Research Council, in partnership with the Department of Social Development and its entities, namely the South African Social Security Agency, which is SASA, and the National Development Agency, NDA, is educating employees on corruption and thus raising awareness. Still under the same point, eradication, fraud, and corruption, a campaign of this nature provided opportunities for the department and its entities to express their commitment in line with the cabinet's efforts to eradicate corruption within the public service. And then the Department of Social Development has also implemented the following. One, social crime prevention strategy. Just a brief summary. This strategy seeks to promote joint effort, share a common understanding and vision on how to tackle crime, bringing together converted intervention within the department as core in relation to social crime prevention initiative. And then the progress to date is that the strategy on social crime prevention was presented at various forums within the department. And then point number two, blueprint minimum norms and standards for secure care centers. It's still under the reducing serious and violent crime objective. And the progress to date under that heading is that currently there are 27 secure centers, secure care facilities in the country with a total bed capacity of 2,229. And they are as follows. The table below indicates the breakdown as the province. With your permission, Acting Chair, I will not go through each and every. And then, also, the slide shows the number of children assessed diverted, placed under home-based care, and children under 10 years dealt with during the period under review. And also, the table indicate the breakdown. Still under the same point, policy framework for accreditation of diversion services were also implemented. The progress to date of this is that approval of policy by the department in March 2010, and it was tabled in Parliament on the 31st of May 2010. On the 20th of August 2010, a notice was published in the Government Gazette, which shows the three structures, accreditation, quality assurance, and site verification. They were also set up in all provinces. Guidelines for probation officers, assistant probation officers, and child and youth care workers is another point under this heading. And then the progress is that the department, in partnership with UNICEF, developed guidelines for probation officers, assistant probation officers, and child and youth care workers to provide appropriate services to children in conflict with the law. And then the fourth point on the issues that emanated from the 2010 SONA was building a performance-oriented state. And the progress to date by the department is that a total of 150 master trainers received training, and furthermore, a total of 270 probation practitioners were trained in all provinces. And at the same point is that the Department of Social Development has partnered with the Technical Assistant Unit of the National Treasury to review its planning processes and capacity of the strategy unit. Furthermore, in the past 2 years, over 30 technical staff were trained on results-based monitoring and evaluation, which is important in performance planning. The last one is the service delivery improvement plan. The department reported that it will be published annually with the strategic plan in accordance with the public service regulations. The last one is expanded public works program expansion. Just a brief background on this program. The government launched the expanded public works program, which is EPWP, in 2003 as a short to medium term response to high unemployment, marginalization, and halving of unemployment by 2014. Progress to date is that the social sector created 206 million work opportunities in the 2009-10 financial year against the set target of 206,000 work opportunities in the 2009-10 financial year against the set target of 80,000 for the year in the business plan. It's million, it's million. It's 206 million, I think.
No, thousand.
Against 80,000. Oh yeah, which is 102. Yeah, I think those were some of the questions that when the department is are here to brief. Those are.
Okay, let us finish the presentation and then we'll go through it one by one and check if our facts are right. Yes.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. And then the social sector has managed to mobilize 56 million for HCBC, which is home-based care, in 2010-11 financial year. And then the challenges that the department indicated were there is also a long-standing backlog in terms of standardization of stipends within the stipends, which gets exacerbated by the rate of at which EPWP pays. Okay, thank you. That was my part. I will hand over to my colleagues. And I will just indicate to members that I haven't drafted any questions based on this since the department was not here. I just wanted to the members to give me something like the guide on how to.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me check from the members whether we want to go to the next presentation or first we want to scrutinize the first presentation.
I think while everything is still fresh, let's scrutinize this first.
Yeah.
It's okay with the call we have
later. Yep. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Let us start by if we have any questions and go through your presentation before we go to the second presentation. Thank you. Hello, members, maybe let me start by saying the idea. Last year we had a problem. The challenge, which I was always, you know, talking to advisor and researcher that they're not assisting us. I want to congratulate them by doing this because I remember last year I used to like shouting at them to say, what are you here for if you don't, you know, assist us? This is some kind of assistance that, you know, is given to members of parliament. But maybe what we need to do is to check the facts, whether the facts are right or if there are any matters that we need to look at as members of parliament. But I want to start, Chair, I think this one has no pages. Maybe it will be wise next time to number our documents so that it's easy for the members to refer to the pages. Yes, in next time. I'm looking at the general strategic objective. Maybe members will, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know which page, but it's talking about government must fill all funded vacant posts. Yeah, that's this one. Maybe our duty as members of parliament should check through researchers how many, you know, vacancies are filled up to now compared to the year 2010 and compare with, so that when we do our speeches, because the idea is we should get the facts right when we write our speeches. And also when the department is here, we should be able to have the number to say, yes, we still feel that the number is not enough. Just for you to give us exact number of vacancies that are filled up to now. And then the second bulletin is continuing. It's saying continuing the fight against corruption. It's quite serious and a bit tough. And there were issues that were raised, especially by Honorable Lamola, of the members themselves, not members, the officials themselves that are involved in the fight against corruption. Do we have, what can they tell us, the department, about officials that were found guilty in terms of fighting corruption? Where are they? What is happening? Are they paying the money back? I don't know if you still remember that, Honorable Lamola, you did raise it in one meeting of the department. Do we need to check who and what steps that are taken, you know, to members that are found guilty in terms of the corruption? Those are my two, maybe on the. Let me give chance to members also. Maybe there are issues that they want to highlight. I have Honorable Lamola and Honorable Masilo, Honorable Tume after her. Thank you very much.
That was my question. It's still a very great concern of mine. Corruption and officials paying back. And I remember, and I think we must pass this question to the department. They must come up and tell us, are these people paying an interest on the money that they are paying back? Are are they allowed to stay on? And I remember the last time they said yes, they are allowed to stay on so that they can pay back. So our next issue must now be, are they paying any interest on the money that they are taking from the department? Because if the department do not have, and they need to go on to loans, they need to pay interest on that, and this many times occur because of them taking the funds out of the system. And then on vacant posts, I cannot see people, I simply cannot see how SASSA, even this year, is going to fill the 59.6% vacancy rate within 6 months. They are battling at this point in time with resources, and because of the paymasters that takes about 56 point some odd now, if it started with 75, it came down to 60 now, 50 odd percent being paid from SASSA to paymasters. So I cannot see how they're going to fill the vacant post, and it is a very big percentage, in 6 months. I don't know how they're going to do it unless Treasury is going to give them more money. We need to really work on that one, because of the vacancy rate that SASSA cannot fulfill their mandate that they were put in place. All right, on that page, those are the only two.
Honourable Masilo,
thank you, Chair. My follow-ups have been covered by Malamu. I just want to check with SASSA, how do they tackle the issue of the corruption? Because, you know, the exit of the child program, where you find the parents or the mothers or father who are now working, but are still in the system of getting those grants. Because the policy, when you got a job, you must immediately go and cancel your grant for your dependents. So how do they link with the recipients of those grants in terms of ID and work and so forth, so that maybe they can reduce the payouts of 15 million that are sitting at now? And I didn't hear our researcher talking about, I don't know, maybe it's going to come in the next presentation, where from the president said we don't have to be a welfare state, instead we have to be a developmental state. So we have to check how we're going to deal with that part. And also SASSA, to check when this paymaster services, their contracts are ending, because they're consuming a lot of budget. And as we know that the most budget from social development goes to SASSA. And if the bulk of the money goes to paymaster services for the grants, so chances of filling those gaps of unemployment is going to be very slim. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Tony.
Another thing else we have to check as members, is still SASSA there for a purpose? Do we actually need SASSA after all these years, after all these failures, after all these unqualified audit reports and all that? And we would think sometimes what can be done, because the things that are happening in SASSA are worse than when the grants were with the Department of Social Development, whereby people would be told on such and such a month, it used to be September. In September, we'll be doing reviewers. So bring the old grannies and grandfathers to the stations, to the pay points where they get their grants. Today, SASSA has got a document that says, we will not inconvenience you when we're doing reviewers. But last year, they just cut off the payment of grants to the people. People were forced to be taken on wheelbarrows to the offices of SASSA. They're just sitting there enjoying aircon, and the people are just taken there on cold weather, raining, everything. It was very painful. And to date, most of the people have not yet received their grants. If you are given a disability grant, you are told to go to the doctor who gave you the disability grant. That person is from a rural area, doesn't even know that doctor. She was operated maybe in Bedford. Where can she go? The grant has been taken away from her. She doesn't have even money to move up and down to the hospital or wherever. So there's a lot that is happening in SASSA that the members have to really be informed about. This inconvenience has caused a lot and death. Now, SASSA is contradicting its statements. These reviewers, of course, we understand as members that they are done because there is these notorious people are getting money for children that they don't have. But for older people, it doesn't work. And the document of the DSD is saying even a friend or a family member, if a person cannot wake up on the bed, can go and do an application for him. But they don't allow that in these offices. There's a lot that we have to look at when we are dealing with the SASSA and these grantsmen. Thank you very much, Madam.
Thank you, honourable members. Okay.
Just another question I would like Ms. Koyana to assist me when on that extension of the child support grant. It says the child support grant currently covers between 70 to 80% of children living in poor households using the 350 per month poverty line. Can you just explain to me what does that actually mean? Because I know that the child support grant is 250, not 350. Oh, it means something else.
Do you want to answer that? Okay.
Thanks, Queen Chairperson. That 350, it's not the grant. Yeah, it is the poverty line, meaning in a household, our household that survives with the 350 poverty line. It's not the grant that is received.
Honorable Lamona.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the growing percentage on child support grants. For common, and this is just for men now, and this is for common knowledge. In the Western Cape, the Premier started with a war on fathers not paying grants for children, and it worked extremely well. They got to the point where they reached these fathers, some of them very well-to-do fathers, that never ever paid the grant, which the state had to provide for. So I think all provinces if possible, should follow that lead. I know there are many provinces where we have dense population or populated areas, people do not have jobs. But where we do have people working, fathers should pay maintenance for the children that they father. And I would suggest that be done. And taking off the load, we are becoming, I'm very worried, we are becoming a welfare state, and we'll have to look beyond the welfare state now to get solutions to what our president wants to implement. And then, just on old people still being carried and taken on wheelbarrows to pay for it, I must congratulate the Western Province, and even in the Eastern Province, when I call SASSA employees, the capable ones, those that are competent in their job, do make a plan to go visit those households. They actually, that's part of their duty, to send out an official, and in the Western Cape they do it on a Friday, sending out officials to do home visits, to take down applications, and then to go back with a report on whatever. I cannot see why this cannot be done in other provinces, because it's not only in the Western Province. When I sit with queries from people on pensions, I even call the Eastern Cape, and they are always willing to help and to send out somebody to these old people. So it is unnecessary, and I do not like that, people being carried on the backs of other people. You know, the dignity of our people is taken down the line. We should capture the dignity of our elderly people always, and that is where SASSA comes in to play a pivotal role, to get an official out to that elderly person or sick or disabled person to take down the review or the application. Reviews is also a problem with SASSA, and I would like the researchers to take note. Reviews take up to a year plus. And nobody can stay without their pension. Nobody can stay without their pension if they are solely dependent on that pension for more than a year. And I've got evidence of that, how I was battling. I even had to come in just after New Year because people never received their pensions on the reviews. They told me that they have a problem because once it's out of SASSA's hands, once the review goes to head office delays it. It's like the tribunals on applications for grants or pensions. It's exactly the same route that the reviews are going, and that is what is keeping our people away from that. So I was just thinking that that community development workers, health workers in the communities should assist, because their duty is to go around to households and to identify the problems that the elderly or the disabled or the sick battles with. There was a cutout that I have on my table, and somebody in the Western Cape, so it happens everywhere, that lives in the poorest of poorest conditions, the most appalling conditions, believe me, and somebody else gets his pension and never comes back to him on it. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, members. We do not expect you to answer, but these are concerns of members, and some of these concerns might need information, like, for instance, the first one, the corruption paying back, and do they pay interest or not? Those that are found guilty. So that concern will go straight to department to say how many of those that are paid, and do they pay interest. That's the kind of work that we need to get from the social development department. And also issues that are raised by Honorable Dume, Honorable Lamula are more on challenges of SASSA. They are around challenges of SASSA, and maybe we need to come up as portfolio committee. Do we need SASSA before we do our discussions or debates in parliament? SASSA to come to the committee to to give us answers to this. It's up to the chairperson of the portfolio committee to do that. We will definitely need, you know, kind of questions raised. It will be our decision as members whether we need SASA to come back to us to tell us all these concerns raised by members. And what I'm trying to say, we, by raising this, we're not saying we need answers from you. All you do is to help us to understand issues that are raised in the SONA. I'm a new chair, so I'm not flexible. Once you write a letter in front of me, I want to look at it. Oh, thank you. I don't welcome people that come listen to it. Well, I don't do that. USASA will be presenting annual report, so all these concerns, we will note them. We want to listen to their annual report. It will be on the 3rd of March. So please, members, write all these concerns. How I wish, because, remember, Baba, we were getting a presentation by our researcher. Your researcher is trying to assist us in terms of our debate. They are giving us information concerning the SONA 2010 and 2011. So we're doing that kind of sharing interaction by us and questions to the department if they are necessary. What I would like to request, because it happens all the time that we get our documents very late. We need to get from SASA our documents before the 1st of March so that we go through them. And because, you know, we always say maybe it's a trick that we're given documents very late, the day of presentation, so that we don't go through it and read it. So we want to make a request, special request, that they must give us a week before so that we're able to go through it. Researcher, I see your hand. Thank you very much.
I've already done some questions on the SASA annual report together with my colleague, with the other researcher, so I can distribute that to the members so long before SASA comes. Thank you. Yes, it is. It is available. The analysis or the actual annual report?
The secretary would like to have
it. SASA has tabled their annual report to Parliament and it's been referred to the committee. So the only thing that we need to do now is just to disseminate the actual hard copy of the annual report and request them to provide the presentation prior to the meeting and the decision that has been taken that a week before. I think by end of this week I'll distribute the annual report and inform them that they are being scheduled for the 1st of March and see whether they will be able to give us the presentation before time.
Excuse me, Chair, through you, can we also have the questions that the research is preparing on SASA? We will go through the report, but we can always match whatever we have.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm trying to look at the page where there was a not understanding of the numbers of the 206 and 80 million. Is it 80 million? What number is it? Can you help me, members? There was a query around the numbers. You see, numbering documents is very good because we'll be going straight to the number. But now I can't see it. But I just want to expanded. Yeah, there it is. It says the social sector created 206, is that 1,000 work for 21 work opportunities in the 2009-2010 financial year against the set target of 80,000 for the year in the business plan. Is that okay? But I still want us to be sure of the facts, because if that is the number, it means they've doubled the number, more than doubled. So just get that one also, just to be sure, yes, so that we are sure of what we're saying, because it's more than doubling the number of work opportunities. We do not want a situation whereby in the paper it says, and then practically, when you debate, people say there's nothing like that. So we want to get the facts right. Thanks.
lucrative. They are giving job opportunity to the home-based care, where in our communities they are looking for the need in terms of home-based care. So I know of one in my constituency where the funding comes from the EPWP. So maybe you are right for them to get us more information about them. But the home-based care, that they do fund them, and in one base care they've got about 40 workers making them, and every month they're getting the stipend of 1,125. It's better than nothing. And in terms of the health, they take them to training, for better training, and to be assistant nurses, auxiliary nurses. But I don't know how far in with their social development.
Okay.
Like how they take them to better training of the auxiliary nurses, and they deploy them in the hospital and teams for better training.
And yes, and if we can put that in form on the sustainability of these projects, because we are now working towards the goal as said by our president for a certain number of jobs to be created of 2040.
Yes.
So we in 2011, 12, 13, 14, it's a 3-year process. So how sustainable are these jobs that are being created by the expanded public works program? They need to be sustainable now for the next 3 years, which will really bring great benefits to the people being involved. Because within 3 years you can do quite a number of things, whereas in 3 months you cannot, you know, because the backlog always comes up. The backlog always comes up in income, which actually puts those people back every time. If they can be in the system for 3 years at least, they can flourish. But they cannot if they're there for 3 months, if you know what I mean. Thank you.
I'm watching time. We still have to go to another presentation, but I have last concern. You know, once you talk about social development challenges, it can be the whole day, because we experience these things in our constituencies. I just want to share this with members, that I was phoned by one lady during the week to say her mother, they are all not working. They depend on the grant. And then I think the mother forgot to renew or life. There's this life certificate that they did not, you know, go to the office and renew it. And they were asking if I could please assist in while they are still waiting for, because it was clear that the mother is not going to get pension for this month. And what is it that they do if you forgot to renew your life certificate? Is there any social relief that is, yes, you know, exactly. It goes with what we're saying, Honorable Lamula. If there were computer records that, you know, are going door to door, they would know that this member needs social relief. So, yes, in those cases, do they have a social relief, you know, funding for people like those? That's the information that I want. And I have two members. I've opened a tin of words. Okay.
Funding at SASA for social relief of distress.
Okay.
Even if the families are living below 1,500, they qualify to apply for them. It's 118 a month for 3 months. Now, in order to apply, what I'm saying is in my constituency, this is the district of SASA. She's a manager there. She said to me, they've got a problem because people, they don't have website where the people know about this program.
Yeah.
And there's some leaflets from social development. She gave me five of them. And I was distributing them to my constituents. And maybe as also members of parliament, we have to tell church people, traditional leaders,
the
NGOs, so that they must go and apply for this social relief. Because even if my I'm a pensioner and my husband is a pensioner and I've got the housing in the country, and the 2020 that we are giving is not enough, they can also go and apply for that social relief document. As long as the family doesn't get more than
1,500.
So the money is there, the budget is there, but it's not utilized like this grant. And it's for us as members who will see all those needy families that there's nothing at all in the camera. So, but every month, 3 months, they recheck. Because maybe after 6 months, somebody from home can get a job and be of their self relief. And so, then they need to get more information from us. And the last point, Chair, I was raising my hand, let me just close it. Our researchers mentioned the substance abuse. There was, in 2007, the former minister launched the project of Kemoja in partnership with schools. And we've got volunteers who are doing this drugs and substance abuse to schools and to the community. But they're doing it on voluntary basis. I don't know whether I can check with the department if they can get maybe a stipend in our area. I'm sure you saw it in the TV, this thing of Nyaoping, right? But assisting in terms of Cambodia in partnership with education. If we can get more information from social development about this person, I can say, have a great
thank you. Can we give all other comments first? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. SASSA is not working the same way in all provinces. For instance, the information dissemination, there's nothing. In their offices, they don't have flyers, they don't have any information. The information, for instance, in December and January that they were using was the information that I got here in Parliament. And I went to address issues to them with the document that I got here from Parliament. Otherwise themselves, they have nothing. All these grants are there, but they will never tell people about them. Not at all. You will be shocked, Chair, when I'm telling you that I had to bury a child after going all the offices of SASSA in Eastern Cape looking for assistance for this old woman. The mother of the child has been admitted in hospital and gave birth to the child. And she couldn't even lift a hand after delivery. Then the child got sick. It was taken to St. Elizabeth and transferred to Amtata, from Amtata to Frey Hospital. The child died. When the woman went to the hospital to ask about the condition of the child, she was told that the child died and she was supposed to go to take the corpse in Islana. Then somebody advised her to come to me. I went to the hospital and inquired, how can a woman go to Frey and take a child whilst the child was admitted here? You have to go and take the corpse, bring it here, then the old woman can take the grandchild. The mother is still in the ward. I went to the department, to the LSA in Lusikisiki, to address the problem of this old woman. She was in the process of the revival. That didn't have money, didn't have anything. They said, no, we're going to help with the SRD. We'll check if there is nobody who's coming to claim for food. That was never done. 3 weeks, the child is in the mortuary. Then the old male lady came. No, they didn't help me. And I said, no. Let's just go to the funeral parlor. I'll pay for the child, and then you bury the child. I had to do that. The other one was told to go to for revival. She's having 3 orphans for her daughter. The daughter was buried by me. Now, This woman couldn't even get the SRD. She was told there is no money, there are no funds for the SRD. I went to the manager, Mr. Yawa, in Islana, and said, no, I'm going to tell somebody to go and check that situation. We are going to solve it. Up to date, there's nothing that has happened. I had to take money from my pocket, take the woman to the shop, buy her groceries for these orphans. So these things are not done, Chair. And these people don't care. Our people just give in, just replies. Yeah, no, you go and do what's the thing? Full birth certificate. Yes, there is a birth certificate on it. So there's a lot that the committee has to look at and also discuss with SASA management, because at the end of the day, it's our people who are suffering. These people are just sitting in the offices, they don't mind, they don't really care. You don't understand when they would say there is no fund for SRD, and yet they never maybe told the national office that we're running short of funds. I think if they are doing their budget, they do their budget according to their needs. And then how do they shortfall of this food parcels? So there's a lot we will have to share when we have time about this SASA and the social development. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just coming there, and I think this committee will remember when we went to Mpumalanga, we had to get SASA to go get the food parcels and deliver to those orphans, remember? And they went to a special building where they accumulated some goods, and we could distribute to those poor children without the mother that ran away, the orphans that were all on their own. And yet they need to do that on a regular basis. So that brings me to monitoring, assisting, and evaluation. That is not done within our departments, and until monitoring is not strictly adhered to, we will have these problems. Because in my area, in co with SASA, the district council has also started putting out forms, do you need food parcels? And I'm really very dismayed about this, because it has now becoming an election tool for some parties in my area. And they only dish out to, if you vote this way, you can get a food parcel. And that is not the way we should go with food parcels. That is why I'm not against food parcels. But I speak on this issue every time in my speeches. And the last time, I know the minister really gave me a bash. But she doesn't know what I know and what I experience, and I'll keep on speaking on it. Because food parcels are becoming a tool and an election tool again. I cannot see why they cater, or why they cater in their budget for food parcels, yet those food parcels are never there when people need it, you know. That is part of the social relief in distress programs, and people should get, because it doesn't take to put you on a review, takes a year. If you did not fill in your life expectancy certificate, you will not get your pension. You must go right from the beginning, and it takes 3 months. So 3 months that family is without food. We must definitely work on this.
Thank you, Honourable Members. What is coming out of this discussion is the way the information is disseminated in the communities. Because not all provinces, you know, get information. Like, in my case, that member of the committee would know if there was a pamphlet saying if you did not renew your life certificate, you are supposed to be getting SRD. So maybe what we need to do, the other thing that we need to do, because I was listening when the members are speaking, around, we need to look at the question of policies. Policies around these issues, because sometimes officials, they work through policies. If we don't have policies around these issues, we'll always say, you know, things are not done, but we need to look also at the policies around these programs. Thank you very much. I don't know if there are any other concerns so that we... Okay.
Maybe we can just put it in the next book. we are from different organs of the cabinet team, as well as the SASA national, just to have a happy day. Or it can even the whole day. Then we book a venue for the whole day, starting from 9:30 to 4:00, and the close to around lunch for them. So that we get clarity, because really SASA and social development are the many issues for the community. And with mom like the barrel issues for the indigenous. I don't know in your province, but in my province, the local municipality, the social division, that the one who assisting in this barrel issue. So we have to check with the local municipality to get for the budget for this. Thank you.
Do you know, okay, I see your hand on the camera. Can you use your mic?
Yeah, I want to add on a member Honorable Joyce said, even if my municipality, I have buried 3 people with my municipality, not my own money. I'll send those people in the municipality, in the office of my country. They do buried 3 of them different houses. Thank you.
That is why we're saying these things are not happening in all provinces. It's good with the other provinces. Maybe we need to look at the question of policies. And also it has implications on the way we disseminate our information, because people might not know all those issues. So, yes.
DG needs to speak to provinces. I don't see why provinces should come here, because every two of them will have a different story. They need to sort it out and get uniformity or universal agreements among them. I feel, because that is why he's there, isn't it? Or am I? Can you help me?
Honourable members, I don't know if you still have other issues on this presentation. Okay. Covered. Thank you very much. Thank you, Siabong, for your Siabu. Yeah, we are all happy you followed your name. Thank you very much. Where the second presentation is from our advisor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson, and I'd like to address the members this morning. My presentation will take a little bit of a slight change from Siafuya's presentation. The purpose of my presentation is to help the members, because as a committee we need to draft the strategic plan for this year. So my presentation is more based on that the issues that we raised in the 2010 State of the Nation Address, how can those issues be put in our strategic plan? So what I have done is I'm sure the members know about the new growth path that we have mentioned in the presentation, that even the President mentioned in his speech. So the SONA priorities are, if we can contextualize them, they are within the framework of the new growth path. So as a committee, then, it is important that our work should be in line, or our strategic plan should be in line with the SONA and the new growth path as overall strategic framework. And also, I just thought maybe from the discussions that we just had now, because we, at the end of this, we need to, as you know, prepare the BRRR, the report. So all these issues will fit into that report. So if members can recall, one of the recommendations was last year when we were doing the PRRR that we will have quarterly reports from the department. So as part of the oversight, because all the issues that just me thinking that we've just talked about, those are part of the oversight work of the committee. So what I can do is all these issues, I can include them in the quarterly reports and see how the department reports on them, and at the end where the committee is in the BRRR has to report on the oversight work. Then those will come out that these are all oversight issues that the committee identified in this meeting, and then this is the feedback that we receive from the department. So that will then assist in the oversight work of the committee. Okay, to come back to the presentation, just to give members a little bit of background, the National Growth Path, it provides a strategic framework on how South Africa can achieve its goals of creating decent work, reduce inequality, and eradicate poverty. And I'm sure members know that most the speech by the president put more emphasis or highlighted the job creation. Okay, and taking the first point on social grants to be linked to economic activities and community development to enable short-term beneficiaries to become self-supporting. When I did my background check, I realized that this priority was also mentioned in 2009 State of the Nation Address. So by the president highlighting it again in 2011, indicates that the Department of Social Development needs to put more focus in expanding the pilot project and roll them out to the other provinces. So far, the department has reported to the committee two pilot projects in this matter. One is in Northwest, where they were constructing 50 toilets, and the other one is in Edukini, in cooperative, the Silindili Temba Edukini Cooperative. So all this, the department reported in 2009, there were still the pilot projects. So because of that, then I was my suggestion maybe to the committee would be, and that the 2011 State of Nature just reiterated on this priority. So then this is a potential area for the committee to conduct oversight on the means of evaluating the impact of this project. And the oversight could assess the following: how many beneficiaries are, if the project are still continuing or were linked to this project? What impact has this project had on their lives? And how many beneficiaries are women, youth, and people with disability? And probably the youth and people with disability may be our main focus, as the president also alluded, that mostly these young people who are not employed and people with disability. And how did the project demonstrate the possibility of making social grants beneficiaries move to self-sustenance? This is important because the two projects, it appears, they appear to have been short-term projects. I think this would also address Honorable Lamola's concern on the external public works programs. How did this project contribute towards skills development and community development? And the committee may further inquire from the department on how the department aims to expand the implementation of this priority, the priority of linking social grants beneficiaries with economic activity. The second point that was highlighted in the State of the Nation Address 2011 is provide financial and non-financial support to cooperatives. This, members, maybe if you can see, it's almost closely linked to the previous point. So during the budget hearing in June 2009 in Parliament, the department indicated that it would focus on investing on NGOs. I'm highlighting that because the cooperatives, some of them, are run by the NGOs. So also the department reported that it was going to explore possibilities of establishing or implementing sustainable livelihoods through community foundation associations or cooperatives, which I think the previous two pilot projects that started with demonstrating how they're going to implement it. And then if you can link this one with, as I said, with the National Growth Path, then NGP in short, it proposes investment in social capital and public services. The social economy, according to the NGP, it says includes non-profit institutions that provide goods and services, including cooperatives, non-government organizations, and stock health. Furthermore, the NGP estimates that if the social sector grew in South Africa closer to international norms, it is anticipated that 260,000 new employment opportunities can be created. And the evidence has shown that NGOs perform 60% of the Department of Social Development Services. Therefore, this indicates the ability of NGOs in creating employment opportunities. Therefore, the implication for the committee should be briefed by the department on the progress it has made in investing in cooperatives. The department should also provide the committee with a list of cooperatives that it either established or it supported. It is also so important for the committee to see to it that the financial award policy is implemented and that discrepancies in the funding model across provinces are eradicated or addressed. And also the other that issue that came up a little bit is the issue of stipends. The issue of stipends between the Department of Health and the Social Development needs to be urgently addressed. This is so because currently there are no guidelines to assist the NGOs or the beneficiaries when they apply for stipends or funding. They never show, for example, when we went to the Service Delivery Ad Hoc Committee last year, people were highlighting the fact that they are never sure where to apply. It is left up to their own decision whether they go to health or they go to social development. And that also, I think, creates the challenge of duplication, one NGO getting funding from the two departments. Last year, when the department was here and this issue was raised, they mentioned that they are working on that with the Department of Health. So then the committee maybe need to monitor and see to it that the guidelines are developed. The other priority was the employment creation. And if I want to link that one, as I said, with the broader framework of government, the NGP, it proposes that the government needs to invest in social investing, in social capital and public services through skills enhancement and support for social wage, meaning public service targeted primarily at low-income measures. The framework further makes special focus on generating job opportunities for young people because they face the highest unemployment rate. Then the Department of Social Development can contribute towards the realization of this goal through its Masupatsela home community-based care and early childhood development program. And the implication to the committee, it is therefore crucial for the committee to monitor how Masupatsela, the home community-based care, and the ECD programs are enhanced and evaluate their impact both in the services they give as well as in creating employment opportunities for the youth. The other point is the finalization of the government position paper on social security reform before the end of 2011. It was highlighted in the speech. Linking it back with the national growth path, new growth path, it acknowledges that there is a need for more competitive and stable exchange rate, and that entails aligning microeconomic measures, microeconomic interventions, and social partner commitments. What is most applicable to the social development sector is the suggestion for the government to maintain the real value of social grants and improve the social wage in poor communities, including housing, healthcare, and education. Therefore, the government aims to increase the social security coverage by improving levels of private savings in the economy.
Can you
do that to the chair? Yes, thank you.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you. Okay. The national growth path, as I indicated earlier, it identifies what it calls the job creation drivers or the key areas
that can lead to job creation and providing income for the community. So one of the suggestions it comes up with is that the government should maintain the real value of social grant, meaning the impact or the value that is added, you know, to the household of social grants, that should be maintained as an income generating mechanism or intervention. And also it needs to improve the social wage in communities, including housing, healthcare, and education. Then maybe this in essence, it actually says that the government needs to invest in social services. I hear you, ma'am, but okay, this is straight from the NGP. It identifies it as a social wage.
Okay.
Yeah, but maybe I can consult with other colleagues and maybe explain to me what this...
Maybe we need to, because I have that concern also.
Okay.
What do we mean by wage? Because to my understanding, it goes straight to money issue. Maybe it might not mean money. It might mean the needs, like housing. Thank you. You may continue, advice.
Okay. Thank you, members. Then the government then aims to increase social security coverage by improving levels of service savings in the economy. And then it suggests that personal savings will be improved through proposed changes in the structure and regulations of retirement funds, including affordable compulsory membership for all employees. This means integrating public, that is tax finance, and private contributory social services schemes. The implications of that: the committee may need to consider organizing a seminar in which experts in the field of social security can be invited to update the members of parliament of the discussion around integrating tax funding social security schemes and contributor schemes. These are included, if members recall, when we attended the conference last year. The bigger part of the conference, or the portion of the conference, focused on the discussions on private social security versus public social security. Private meaning the personal contributions that individuals they make, and supplementing that with the tax finance, which is the public, the social grants. So there is an ongoing discussion, which I think this paper, the social security reform paper, will also encompass, trying to come up with ways how the two tax security systems can be integrated so as to increase the coverage. And because it was noted in that conference that there's still a large number of people in South Africa who are not part of the social security, particularly the social insurance. So there's a discussion going on. And I was thinking that maybe whilst the people who are tasked with the job of preparing that concept document are, you know, drafting it, it would be also useful for the members to get some seminar from the people who are more knowledgeable on the field, just to so that we on par with the discussions, that then you can be able to maybe have some input when that paper finally comes. So we have a little bit of background. Okay, and also by doing so, we can also, the committee can also get an understanding what the role of Parliament should be. Because another, the concern has always been that as members of Parliament, members of Parliament, they only receive the final documents, and without being part of the whole discussions and everything that leads into that. And probably in that they may have some input or influence as policymakers towards the finalization of those documents. So by having maybe an expert and someone who can assist the members and see what areas they can play towards this important regime in social security. Okay, this is just that. This will not only keep the community abreast with discussions and debate, but also afford the members to have a broader perspective on the subject matter. The fight against substance abuse. As the researcher highlighted earlier, the president spoke about the fight against drugs and in the communities. And there's a legislation that was passed, the Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse Act, number 70 of 2008, was promulgated in 2008. And in the 2009-10 strategic plan that was presented to the committee by department, the department was to develop a draft regulation on the Act by 2009 and 2010. And so then the committee then, or department, we need to brief the committee on the progress that's made on those regulations, because for the point that was highlighted in the SONA in terms of fighting drug abuse in the community, these regulations are quite important that they be finalized and approved. Okay, those are the only things that I managed to identify. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, our advisor. That was mouthful moment. Okay, you may go without telling us what you are going to do. Chair, or honorable members, the presentation is starting on the locate priorities identified. Am I right, ma'am? Yeah. Contextualize priorities. I'm reading the first bulletin because we don't have pages. Locate the priorities identified by 2011 state on the national address within Newport Park. Advisor, I see this as a very informative way of assisting members of parliament in terms of concerns around these issues that you've raised, which is a very good move. And I think turning to the page, it's written continued. It has all the questions that we have, that is how many beneficiaries were linked to the projects. And I think it gives us the scope to also check with other provinces, because you've mentioned two projects or two provinces that have these projects, which is Northwest and the Eastern Cape. And maybe as members of parliament, we need to check why is it not other provinces. Provinces don't have these projects. I don't know whether we did ask that question when, after this presentation, maybe we need to look at how many projects do we have or provinces that have this privilege of having these projects. Yes. To other provinces. Thank you very much, Honorable Lamu. Oh, Marcelo. She's very lucky. Yeah. We, members, I don't know if you want to raise concerns around this presentation. This is your chance. Honorable Marcelo. Thank you.
Those old crashes, which we funded, which
which used to be under education that now transferred to social care, that the ones have been funded. But to create more jobs for the communities, because now social development has taken over, I don't see any move. In my area, consequently, we have lots of crashes, church-based organizations and NGOs, but the municipality of Tshwane is the one that is visible funding for those ECDs. As I'm saying now, they gave them 100,000 each ECD in the community to come up with their programs and employment. But we have to check with the social development why it's so slow. It's not even visible. And we've been talking about ECD, 12 rand per day per child, but it will assist in job creation. And the last one, Chair, we talk about the home-based care started.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they stay 9 to 10 months or 12 months without receiving any stipend from the department. And the problem is where the department are clustered, social development and health. In one NGO, in fact, there are many in my area, where up to November, since January, they never get anything, and December is only when they got something. We start getting 1,000 rand. And poor people, they go there every day, dedicated to their work, volunteering. And when you call the department, they say they'll pay them on trenches. To them, they don't understand what are these trenches. And trenches maybe can be 3 months, but they took more than 9 to 10 months before paying them. I don't know how can you assist the communities in terms of stipends. And why are they not the same uniforms? Under they are getting 500, some 1,000. But I think the problem is with different NGOs. I don't know what the policy says, but when the money comes on trenches, the NGOs keep the money for themselves and pay these people 500 others. And I've just realized in my one of my constituencies that there are also some, what do you call them, spokesmen to the payroll. People are not there, but they are on their list. But I think we are working on it, and they're just investigating the social development. So it comes back to monitoring and evaluation of the NGOs where this is what I'm talking about. Thank you.
Mine, I'm looking at the employment creation, and there's a page where it starts by NGP. Proposes that the government needs to invest in social investing. And then my concern is on the last bulletin, which says the Department of Social Development can contribute towards the realization of this goal through its Masupatsile. And then the following page says it is crucial for the committee. I'm looking on the issues that you raised, that you say we as committee must look at. Like you're saying, we need to monitor how Masupatsile and its programs, the HECP and ECD programs, are enhanced. My concern is, I'm a member of social development. I'm no longer new. I used to say I'm new in the social development. I'm from health portfolio committee. But I would like to know, I know the word Masupatsile, whether there's funding for Masupatsile, and what is the role of Masupatsile. So that I'm clear, people don't laugh at me, that this is our time to be educated. No. Masupatsile, I know the word Masupatsile, it means it's around the youth. It's from, yes, I know Masupatsile. But what I would like to know, whether it is, are they active in the provinces? Do we have the funding to do this? The word Masupatsile is known, but whether there's work around Masupatsile and also the funding.
Yeah, whether there's the funding.
Exactly. so that we don't talk about Masupatsile and say and monitor Masupatsile without understanding whether there's funding for this Masupatsile or not. Thank you. Oh, Mamuto.
I'm with you, Chair, in what you are saying, because I've been told, for instance, in KZN, there's been the youth in an office of Emma Weleni in Namlazi. They were working there for this particular project, assisting people in registering their NPOs there and all those things. But I was informed in December that the contracts were never reviewed and they are out of work and all those things. So really we have to check whether there is funding for this or not.
Well, this will mean advisor give us more on concerns and around Masupatsile, whether it's working in the provinces, whether we have funding. Yes, thank you. And who's monitoring?
We must also remember, and you know, this is an issue that always comes up in my mind, the 40 mobile units that social development is actually battling with to really get them going. Most of these mobiles were parked in the local provincial garages because there was no work for them. They must start thinking on their feet now. And if they cannot use it for the purpose that they bought it, it was money laid out, and it was huge amounts of money being paid to these mobiles. They must then reuse it for the purposes. If they cannot use it for the purpose that they bought, they must use it to at least do something good in the social development department with it. They can use it to monitor. They don't just need it to go around and sign up people for child grants and whatever, because even if they go out, they come back with 6 applications and 10 applications that were sent to us. I've still got a proof of that. So why not use it for something that can prosper, where they can prosper and have more impact and do something positive with it? Why are these mobile units? What is happening to them? Are they really being used in each and every problem? And because they do not have resources to use these mobiles for the use they bought it for. So let's try and convert it into something that can be used and can be of some positive impact for the department.
Thank you, Chair. I would like the members to think really very, very, very deep when we talk of the angels. Unfortunately, we've been working with the community as community builders, maybe myself, for the past 18 years. When we look at the NGOs, I think when we are doing our oversight, we have to check and double check. These people form themselves as NGOs. They use the poor and illiterate people in order to succeed and benefit in most areas. When you get there, the day you are coming, she or he will just call people to come and say, these are service providers, wara, 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 wara. The other NGO, for instance, I cannot name it now, Public Works is contributing 800 rand for a stipend for each home-based caregiver. And then this NGO is contributing 200 rand. This NGO is getting money from Lotto, from health, from social development, and from NDA. And then I would ask, what are all these monies doing? When I checked the document, the proposal has got salaries. Each proposal has got salaries. Each proposal has got uniform. Each proposal has got food parcels. And really, it was just shocking and amazing. So I'm going with our advisor to say, here we need to know what is the role that we have to play in order to rectify or to assist and advise these NGOs, these CPOs. Where the work is actually done is within the communities, but the CPOs they are small, they are undermined, they've been started by poor people, illiterate people who don't know the way. Now the angel would come and impose itself and say, I am going to assist you, and yet manipulating these people. When you talk of the cooperatives are different types. There are social cooperatives, and there are cooperatives that are making projects and programs. Let's have a time where we will let those communities to say what they want. Not for anyone to sleep and wake up and say, I'm going to do this for these people. If we can check around South Africa, we'll see white elephants. Properties that are sitting there, projects that were started, and those people ate money and then it was lost. Then how do we resuscitate those projects to say, Mazifuge, people must start working, and what can they do? If we can, for instance, ma'am, talk about these RDP houses, there's a lot that we can do. We cannot buy blocks from far 100 kilometers away. If you are doing RDP houses in Lusikisiki, you buy the blocks in Durban. And yet there are people there who are unemployed who can start up a project fast to build these blocks so that schools, clinics, these RDP houses can be made. And then there will be a share, local manufacturing. So let our voice as the members be heard, and let's assist whoever is planning to say this can be sustainable, this cannot be sustainable. Because here we'll be talking of people who just say, well, this can be done, this can be done. And then when you go deep to the people, that doesn't happen at all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tume, Honorable Ilamula.
See, the main problem with NGOs are assistance from the department. These NGOs, many of them do not even know how to do a business plan. Can we expect them to really operate the way they're supposed to? So continuous assistance, evaluating, monitoring of NGOs is a necessity. They need to know, and you know, there was a huge outcry when NGOs, when their funding was taken away or halved or whatever. It is because they did not adhere to the criteria that was set for them. They did not give their financial report. They did not give their year report. They did not give their chairperson's report. And you know, to avoid corruption, some departments needed to put in measures in place to at least get these NGOs to adhere to what they were supposed to do. But they cannot do it on their own. It's true, they cannot. And that is why I say, and that is why I've asked for contact numbers on these rehab centers and home care based centers, so that we can check, as a committee, check and monitor, are these institutions, or are they still working? Are they in working order? Do they adhere to what they... remember, the Children's Act is very strict. It's very straightforward to if it's implemented. Our registers kept for people misusing this or abusing these children. We need to monitor these situations from our side, but the departments also used to do it. And with the shortage of social workers, they cannot fulfill their duty. They cannot. There are many pros and cons that really avoid us from performing.
Thank you very much. Another 2 minutes.
Thanks, Chair. It's just the utilization of these sitters and sitters. Those people are given money by the government to run those programs for the government to the people. When these people need the proposals, the business plans, and all those things, the sitters are supposed to do that for them. And these sitters from all the department have got a sitter for social development, a sitter for health, sitter for education, and stuff. All over there are these sitters. But you can't really say what are they actually doing. Thank you.
So, your advisor could give us some clarities on some of the issues. So, yes.
Thanks, Chair. No, my input was on the last year when we drafted the bid
RRR report, there's a recommendation that we will have, we invite the NGOs, and then so that they can come and and have a discussion with the committee. So now I'm just thinking now that maybe in the next quarter or whenever time allows, then we arrange for that kind of like public hearing so that they can come, and then the members, especially issues of, I know the members can go and do oversight by visiting those places, but also can engage with them with their concerns, the value for money, the compliance, the common standards, the challenges with the department. So this is what the committee had agreed on last year. So maybe we can just have put a time slot maybe in the next term or something on that.
Thank you. You spoke about the draft strategic plan. Remember? Yes. Where will that be, maybe? Because you correct me if I'm wrong. I was thinking that maybe we should write all this, and then when we go for that strategic plan, we should also make sure that some of the issues that we raised here are also in the strategic plan.
Yes, ma'am. As I said, that the purpose of my presentation was to lead to that, yes. So what I'm going to do now is to draft it. It's going to be on the 4th of March where the committee will sit and have the consideration of that draft plan or the strategic plan. So before that, now with this discussion and issues that came out here, then for me it is up to me now to go and come out with the draft of that plan.
That will really assist us. I'm going to go to, this is a good, very good input that will also empower us to strategic plan, to prepare for strategic plan. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Friday.
I like these two members, because Honorable Lamola, and they forget that, you know, a new chair is here. Acting new chair is here. So I have to do the both whipping and chairing. Please speak true to me. No, it's fine. You are raising something very important, Honorable Masil, that of the date of registration. Maybe we should look at that, so that, because we won't be here, check whether this won't be here. Yeah, because we need to. Yes. Thank you very much, Honorable. Though you don't speak to me, you both, all of you speak sense, but please make sure that I'm here.
Chair, yes. If we can then not postpone my recommendation, not postpone what we need to do on the 4th, but just take it to the next Friday in March, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, the 11th of March.
Yeah.
Just take it to the next Friday, but do not postpone. Let's not postpone, because otherwise there will be a delay in following up. It's not our duty, Chair. It's not completely our duty as a committee. There are people in the department that need, entities in the department that need to do this. And we must just safeguard ourselves and see that they do what they need to do, especially the moment.
Yeah.
So get them up to standard.
The question of NGOs, you are right, advisor, that we need to invite them. It looks like more work is in the communities than here. Because we are dealing with social cluster, which is based on the lives of our people. So the question of the NGOs would give us an idea of how many NGOs do we have? And also, those NGOs might tell us their challenges, like those of that of not being trained, given money and not trained. So maybe we need, in our strategic plan, we also check the date of inviting the NGOs and CBOs in the next term. because you know our program is out now. You know, we look at it in the next term, which is starting in March, April. Thanks a lot. I see your hand. Research, do you want to say something? Okay. Honorable Nasir?
Well, Chair, maybe in the next term or next year, also, we've got time as a committee to have meetings in the provinces, in the regions. And after those meetings, we monitor and visit those NGO projects. Because I think most of our work is at 519. If you go there for 2 days, I think it should be enough. Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Monday, you sleep overnight. Then we have our weekly meeting there, and we visit 4 to 5 projects, and we come back. Mm-hmm. I think that will ease us to go and see for ourselves. Because if we say we'll plan for an oversight week, we won't have time. Because we will be going for the budget votes, we'll be going for the election period. So this is going to be a very short year. Thank you, Chief.
Indeed, it's going to be a very short year this year. But what we need to do is also, because we will be talking about all these concerns in our strategic plan, maybe we should also check, you know, the program so that they don't rush. Yes. And then if we have time, it's very important that we're not only listening to them, and you also see what they do. Because in some cases, you find that their work is on papers only. And exactly. So we look at our program and see, you know, when is our debate and budget votes and all that. Thank you very much. I don't know if members still have something on this presentation. Okay, there's another one from third last page, you were speaking about a seminar, which also maybe we might, it's very important, that seminar that you're talking about. We should carry this document when we go to our strategic plan, because it will remind us all the issues that we've raised. Even the question of a seminar could be in our strategic plan, and see how we strategize it and the date of the seminar. Of course, this will be taken to the chair. This concerns, maybe you and chair will sit for the draft. Yes, and yeah, thank you. I'm not expecting answers to this, but it's our way, we need to do it. And yeah, I don't know if Nanda still has something on this presentation. No, there's no hand. We have when we started latecomers, we were debating whether to do the adoption of the limits or not, but it was clear that we won't be able to do it because of the quorum, and we are six, we're short of one. So it means that we will look at it next time, the adoption of the quorum. And I don't know if there are any issues to be raised by our secretary or.
Okay. Which minutes are we talking about? Which date? Is it for last week?
We don't have them in front of us, but.
The one we are supposed to adopt.
Oh, no, it's a report. It's an HRC report.
Oh.
We dealt with all the minutes, right? Yes. It's the HRC report. Sorry, Chair. I made a mistake. It's a HRC report. It won't take time. Even next week, we can sit for less than an hour and adopt it. And if can you imagine? I'm a whip. So now the cap of your whip, I haven't taken it off. So
don't be careful.
I'm told I must hold the power. Thank you very much. If there are any issues, if there are any issues from the chair, I would like to thank all the members for giving me the power of being the acting chair, and also members really, you know, you are assisting me in many areas. Thank you very much. It's not easy to be on this chair, but through you, it was easy for me. Thank you very much. And the way you behaved, keep it up. Behave like this all the time. Thank you very much.